Part 2. Rage. Shit escalates. Severo Albarca. Chapter 13. Howlers. It's gory damn frustrating being kept in the dark, Victrum mutters as she helps me rack the weights on the bench press. The sound echoes through the stone gymnasium. It's bare bones in here. Metal weights, rubber tires, ropes, and months of my sweat. Don't they know who you are? I say, sitting up. Oh, shut up. Didn't you found the Howlers? Don't you have any say over how they treat us? She nudges me off the bench to take my spot, laying her spine on the padded surface and pushing her arms up to grip the barbell. I take a few weights off, but she glares at me, and I put them back on as she fixes her grip. Technically, no, I say. Oh, but seriously, what's a girl got to do to get a wolf cloak? Her powerful arms thrust the bar up off from its rack, moving it up and down as she talks. Nearly 300 kilos. I shot a legget in the head 2 missions ago. A legget! I've seen your howlers. Aside from Ragnar, they're tiny. They need more heavies if they want to take on Aegis's bone riders of the Sovereign's Praetorians. She grits her teeth as she finishes her last repetition, racking the bar without my help, and standing to point to herself in the mirror. Hers is a powerful, laconic form, shoulders broad and swaying with a haughty walk. I'm a perfect physical specimen, on and off my feet, not using me as an indictment on Severa's intelligence. I roll my eyes. It's probably your lack of self-confidence he's worried about. She throws a towel at me. You're as annoying as he is. Swear to Jove, if he says one more thing about my nascent poverty, I'm going to cut his head off with a gory damn spoon. I watch her for a moment, trying not to laugh. What, you have something to say as well? Not a thing, my good lady, I say, holding up my hands. Her eyes linger on them instinctively. Squats next. The ramshackle gymnasium has been our second home since Mickey carved us. It was weeks of recovery in his ward, as our nerves remembered how to walk and both of us tried to put on weight again under the supervision of Dr. Virani. A gaggle of reds and a green watch us from the corner of the gym. Even after 2 months, the novelty hasn't worn off seeing how much two chemically and genetically enhanced peerless scarred can lift. Ragnar came in to embarrass us a couple weeks back. Brute didn't even say a word, just started piling weights onto a barbell till no more would fit. Power cleaned it, and then gestured for us to do the same. Victor couldn't even get the weight off the ground. I got as far as my knees. Then we had to listen to the 100 idiots who flocked after him chant his name for an hour. Found out afterward Uncle Nerol had been overseeing bets on how much more Ragnar could lift than I. Even my own uncle bet against me. But it's a good sign, even if the others don't think of it this way. Gold can't win everything. It was with Mickey and Dr. Virani's help that Victor and I regained control of our bodies. But regaining our sense in the field has taken just as long. We started with baby steps. Our first mission out together was a supply run with Holiday and 12 bodyguards. Not for the supply run itself, but for me. We didn't do it with the Howlers. Gotta work your way up to the A squad, Reap. Make sure you can keep up, Severo said, patting my face. And Julia has to prove herself. She slapped his hand when he tried petting her. 10 supply runs, 2 sabotage missions, and 3 assassinations later, Severo was finally convinced that Holiday, Victra, and I were ready to run with the B squad, the Pit Vipers, led by my own Uncle Nerol, who's become a bit of a cult hero to the Reds here. Ragnar's a godlike creature, but my uncle is just a rough old man who drinks too much, smokes too much, and is uncommonly good at war. His pit vipers are a motley collection of hard-asses specialising in sabotage and thievery. About half are ex-helldivers, the rest are a spattering of other useful low-colours. We've completed 3 missions with them, destroying a barracks and several Legion communications installations, but I can't shake the feeling we're a snake eating our own tail. Every bombing is twisted by the society media. Every pinprick of damage we do seems only to bring more legions from Aegea to the mines or the smaller cities of Mars. I feel hunted. Worse, I feel like a terrorist. I've only ever felt this way once before, and that was with a bomb on my chest, walking into the gala on Luna. Dancer and Theodora have been pressing Severo to reach out to more allies, trying to bridge the gap between the Suns and other factions. Reluctantly, Severo agreed. So earlier this week, the Pit Vipers and I were dispatched from the tunnels to the northern continent of Arabia Terra, where the Red Legion had carved themselves a stronghold in the port city of Ismenia. It was Dancer's hope I could bring them into the fold, in a way Severo hadn't been able to, maybe pull them away from Harmony's influence. But instead of finding allies, we found a mass grave. A grey, bombed-out city shelled from orbit. I can still see that pale, bloated mass of bodies writhing on the coastline. Crabs skittering over the corpses, making meals of the dead, as a lone ribbon of smoke twirled and twirled up to the stars. The old, soundless echo of war. I'm haunted by the sight, but Victra seems to have moved past it as she ploughs through her workout. She's pushed it to that vast vault in the back of her mind where she compresses and locks away all the evil she's seen, all the pain she's felt. I wish I were more like her. I wish I felt less and was less afraid. But as I recall that ribbon of smoke, all I can think is that it presages something worse, as if the universe is showing us a glimpse of the end we're rushing toward. It's late night, and the mirrors have fogged with condensation when we're done with our workout. We wash up in the showers, talking over the plastic dividers. Take it as a sign of progress, I say. At least she's speaking to you. No, your mother hates me. She'll always hate me. Not a damn thing I can do about it. Well, you could try being more polite. I'm perfectly polite, Victor says in offence, turning off her shower and exiting the stall. Eyes closed against the water, I finish shampooing my hair, expecting her to say more. She doesn't. So I finish rinsing the shampoo out and exit the stall when I'm done. I feel something's amiss the moment before I see Victra naked on the floor, hands and legs hog-tied behind her back, a hood over her head. Something moves behind me. I whirl around just in time to see a half-dozen ghost cloaks slipping through the steam. Then someone inhumanly strong slams into me from behind, wrapping their arms around mine, pinning them to my sides. I feel their breath on my neck. Terror screams through me. The jackal's found us. He snuck in. How? Golds! I shout. Golds! I'm slick from the shower. The floor is slippery. I use it to my advantage, wriggling against my attacker's arms like an eel and lashing back with my head in his face. There's a grunt. I twist again. Feet slip. I fall, smacking my knee on the concrete floor. Scramble to my feet. Feel 2 attackers rushing me from the left. Cloaked. I duck under one, putting my shoulder into his knees. He catapults over my head and smashes through the plastic barriers that divide the shower behind me. I grab the other by the throat, blocking a punch and throw him into the ceiling. Another slams into me from the side, prying at my leg with his hands to take my balance. I go with it, jumping in the air, twisting my body in a cravat move that steals his centre of gravity and puts us both on the ground, his head between my thighs. All I need do is twist and his neck breaks. But Two more sets of hands are on me, thumping me in the face. More are on my legs. Ghost cloaks rippling in the vapour. I'm screaming and thrashing and spitting, but there are too many. And they're nasty, punching the tendons behind my knees so I can't kick, and the nerves in my shoulders so my arms feel heavy as lead. They shove a hood over my head and bind my hands behind my back. I lay there motionless, terrified, panting. Get them on their knees, an electronic voice growls. On their bloody damn knees. Bloody damn? Ah, shit. As I realise who it is, I let them lift me up to my knees. Hood is removed. The lights are out. Several dozen candles have been set on the shower floor, throwing shadows about the room. Victra's to my left, eyes furious, blood coming from her now crooked nose. Holiday has appeared to my right, fully clothed but similarly bound. She is carried in by two black-clad figures and forced down on her knees. A big grin splits her face. Standing around us in the bathroom steam are 10 demons with black-painted faces staring out from beneath the mouths of the wolf pelts that hang from their heads to their mid-thighs. Two lean against the wall, in pain from my rabid defence. Beneath the pelt of a bear, Ragnar towers beside several. The howlers have come for new recruits, and they look bloody terrifying. Greetings, you ugly little bastards. Severo growls, removing the voice synthesizer. He stalks forward through the shadows to stand before us. It has come to my attention that you are abnormally devious, savage, and generally malicious creatures, gifted in the arts of murder, mayhem, and chaos. If I am mistaken, do say so now. Severo! You scared the shit out of us, Victra says. The hell is your problem?
Do not profane this moment, Ragnar says menacingly.
Victra spits. You broke my nose, you oaf! Technically I did, Severo says. He jerks his head to a lean howler with red sigils on his hands. Sleepy helped. You little dwarf! You were squirming, love. Pebble says from somewhere among the howlers. I can't tell which she is. Voice resounding off the walls. And if you keep talking, we'll just gag you and tickle you. Clown says, sinisterly. So, shh. Victra shakes her head but keeps her mouth shut. I'm trying not to laugh at the solemnity of the moment. Severo continues, pacing back and forth before us.
You have been watched, and now you are wanted. If you accept our invitation to join our brotherhood, you must take an oath to be always faithful to your brothers and sisters, to never lie, never betray those under the cloak. All your sins, all your scars, all your enemies now belong to us, our burden to share. Your loves, your family will become your second loves, your second family. We are your first. If you cannot abide this, if you cannot conscience this bond, say so now and you may leave. He waits. Not even Victra says a word.
Good. Now, as per the rules set forth in our sacred text,
he holds up a little black book with dog-eared pages and a white howling wolf head on the front.
You must be purged of your former oaths and prove your worth before you can take our vows.
He holds up his hands.
So let the purge begin. The howlers pitch back their heads and howl like maniacs. What comes next is a blur of kaleidoscopic oddities. Music thumps from somewhere. We're kept on our knees, hands tied. The howlers rush forward. Bottles are brought to our lips and we chug as they chant around some weird looping melody that Severo leads with bawdy aplomb. Ragnar roars with satisfaction when I finish the bottle they bring me. I almost puke then and there. The liquor burns, scouring my esophagus and belly. Victor's coughing behind me. Holiday just chugs on, and the howlers cheer as she finishes her bottle. We waver there as they surround Victor, chanting as she gasps and tries to finish the liquor. It splashes over her face. She coughs.
"Is that your best daughter of the sun?" Ragnar bellows. "Drink!"
Ragnar roars with delight when she finally finishes the swill, coughing and muttering curses.
"Bring forth the snakes and the cockroaches," he shouts.
They chant like priests as Pebble wobbles forward with a bucket. They push us together so we surround the bucket and, in the wavering light, can see the bottom of it wriggling with life. Thick, shiny cockroaches with hairy legs and wings crawl around a pit viper. I reel back, terrified and drunk as our binds are cut. Holiday's already reached inside and grabs the snake. She slams it on the floor till it dies. Victor just stares at the grey.
"What the—"
"Finish your bucket or get the box," Severo says.
"What does that even mean?"
"Finish the bucket or get the box. Finish the bucket or get the box," they chant.
Holiday takes a bite of the dead snake, tearing into it with her teeth.
"Yes," Ragnar bellows. "She has the soul of a howler. Yes."
I'm so drunk I can barely see. I reach into the bucket, shivering as I feel the cockroaches crawl over my hand. I snatch one up and jam it into my mouth. It's still moving. I force my jaw to chew. I'm almost crying. Victor is gagging at the sight of me. I swallow it down and grab her hand and force it into the bucket. She makes a sudden lurching movement, and I'm too slow to realize what it means. Her vomit splashes onto my shoulder. At the smell of it, I can't hold my own in. Holiday chews on. Ragnar shouts her praises. By the time we finish the bucket, we're a huddled, pathetic mass of drunk, bug and guts-covered filth. Severo saying something in front of us keeps swaying back and forth. Maybe that's me. Is he talking? Someone shakes my shoulder from behind. Was I asleep?
"This is our sacred text," my little friend is saying. "You will study this sacred text. Soon you will know this sacred text inside and out. But today, you need know only Howler Rule 1.
"Never bow," Ragnar says.
"Never bow,"
the rest echo, and Clown steps forward with three wolf cloaks. Like the fur of the wolves at the Institute, these pelts modulate to their environment and take on a dark hue in the candlelit room. He holds one out for Victra. They free her bonds and she tries to stand, but can't. Pebble reaches to help her up, but Victra ignores the hand, tries again and tilts down to a knee. Then Severo kneels beside her and extends a hand. Looking at it through sweat-soaked hair, Victra snorts out a laugh as she realizes what this is about. She takes his hand, and only with his help can she walk steadily enough to take her cloak. Severo takes it from Clown and drapes it around her bare shoulders. Their eyes meet and linger for a moment before they move to the side, so Holiday can be helped up by Pebble to gain her cloak. Ragnar helps me, draping mine over my shoulders.
"Welcome, brother and sisters, to the Howlers." Together the Howlers pitch back their heads and let loose a mighty howl. I join them and find to my surprise that Victra does as well, hurling her head back in the darkness without reservations. Then suddenly the lights flare on. The howls die as we look around in confusion. Dancer trudges into the showers with Uncle Nerol.
"The bloody hell is this?"
Nerol asks,
eyeing the cockroaches and the remains of the snake and the bottles. The howlers look at the ludicrousness of one another awkwardly.
"We're performing a secret occult ritual," Severo says, "and you are interrupting, subordinate."
"Right," Nerol says, nodding, a little disturbed. "Sorry, sir."
"One of our pinks stole a datapad from a bone rider in Ajia," Dancer says to Severo, not amused by the display. "We found out who he is." "No shit," Severo says. "Was I right?"
"Who?" I ask drunkenly. "Who the hell are you talking about?"
"The Jackal's silent partner," Dancer says. "It's Quicksilver." "You were right, Severo. Our agents say he's at his corporate headquarters on Phobos. But he won't be for long. He's bound for Luna in 2 days. We won't be able to touch him there."
"So, Operation Black Market is a go," Severo says.
"It's a go," Dancer admits reluctantly. Severo pumps his fist in the air.
"Hell yeah! You heard the man, Howlers. Get scrubbed, get sober, get fed. We've got a silver to kidnap and an economy to crash."
He looks at me with a wild grin on his face. "It's gonna be a hell of a day. A hell of a day!"